Dave from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And this week we are talking about Saturday Night Live's episode from April 13th, 2019, Emma Stone hosting, BTS musical guesting.
Yeah.
Season 44, episode 18.
Woo!
We are 18 episodes into the season.
Oh my God, halfway to, what's double 18? 36?
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Math.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
How
you doing, Darren?
I'm all right. How are you? Are you okay? I'm here for you, man.
I'm fine. I'm a little stressed. I got a lot of stuff going on. I'm not going to go into it during the show.
A lot of pots on the fire.
So much shit to take care of today.
Good God. Okay.
But anyway, we had this show. We had the Emma Stone, SNL favorite,
yes.
Emma Stone,
oh my, great.
Returning to the show.
Yes, fourth time. And as always, she kills it. She knocks it out the park with this one.
And BTS making their SNL debut.
Yes, I looked it up. BTS is an acronym for, I think, Beyond the Something.
Behind the Scenes?
No, it's supposed to be Beyond the Scene.
Beyond, oh, because they're like so hip and they're so cool, they're beyond the scene.
Yes, I think I just found out about this group like a month ago, so
okay,
my knowledge is extremely limited, to say the least.
We are two men in our 40s talking about a K-pop band.
Yeah,
we're gonna get shit wrong.
Yeah, like the most recent band I know is probably like, you know, Foo Fighters or something like that. I could talk about all day.
Sure.
And
sure,
you know, maybe I don't know, the Toadies or something cool like that.
See, I don't know the Toadies.
Make now, up now, your mind. Possum Kingdom.
Wanna die? Okay, I know that song.
That's the Toadies.
I never knew their name.
Oh, God. Do you even watch 120 Minutes, bro?
I do not. I attribute that largely to me never watching MTV and that show not existing anymore.
What? Since when?
But, I mean, if it weren't for those two factors, I'm sure I'd be all over it.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Get on it, fella. Get on the hot new train of Toadies and the Gin Blossoms. They're burning up the charts.
Yeah, cutting edge of 1993.
Oh, I never left it.
So we have things to say about the show.
We do.
At least. I hope. Otherwise, this is going to be a horribly short podcast.
Oh, we're supposed to come with things to say about this?
Hopefully. So let's dive in. We had the cold open.
Cold open.
MSNBC lockup Chino Correctional Facility. We had Chris Redd and Keenan and Kyle as inmates there.
In prison. Where inmates are. As soon as they said in prison, I was like, why did they say that?
Yeah,
world would an inmate be? Well, there could be other places.
For the slow people in the audience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Easy. And they run into another inmate, which is Kate McKinnon as Lori Loughlin.
Yes. Basically, it's like a bunch of inmates who they try to see which one's the craziest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Lori Loughlin said, "Oh, I paid $500,000 to get my kid into USC."
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also saw another surprise appearance from one of the writers, Gary Richardson.
Oh, who did Gary Richardson play?
He played, because apparently Lori Loughlin joined the Nation of Islam in the sketch.
Yes.
And Gary was the guy who gave her her kufi? Is that?
Look to me for that terminology.
Now, John, you know a lot about the Nation of Islam. What's the name of the hat that they wear? The headpiece.
I am not even going to attempt to guess. Okay. I honestly have no idea.
Okay. But yeah, he's the one that gave Laurie her head garb.
Okay.
And let's leave it at that, and maybe not. I'll try not to offend anybody.
And like early in the sketch, they had a rare technical screw up.
Yeah, that was weird.
They have a shot, and it's just a shot of Pete Davidson just standing or sitting in the corner waiting for his cue.
Yeah, that was awkward.
So they cut to the wrong camera too early, and it was so weird because you hardly ever see that sort of thing on SNL.
That was really jarring.
It was nuts.
I mean, it's, especially in the very first sketch.
I know.
Maybe like in the 10 to 1 era, you might see a snafu.
Yeah, but
like right off the rip, you're tripping over your toes.
Yeah, it was nutty. So we also had Pete Davidson in there as Michael Avenatti, And our surprise cameo
yeah.
of the episode, Michael Keaton
yeah.
as Julian Assange.
I know. Beetlejuice.
Who saw that coming? You made a prediction on Twitter. You said you were thinking it was going to be Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Well, in a beard.
Well, I said Steve Martin because he has white hair.
Okay.
And he's part of SNL.
Sure.
So I was like, oh, so they could save on a hair dye.
That was a reasonable guess. And yeah. Our follower, Ruby, I believe,
yes.
guessed that it was going to be Kate McKinnon in a fake beard.
Yeah, when he said that, I was like, oh, that's a better guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like we both got trumped by them putting up Michael Keaton. I would not have gotten that at all.
We had Batman, his own self.
I know.
And I didn't realize until the very end of the show when they were doing Good Nights, I was like, oh, holy shit, this was a Birdman reunion.
Yeah. Because
we had Emma Stone and Michael Keaton on the same show.
God, that movie was so good.
Oh, I love that movie.
It's a real... Guys, pause this podcast and go watch Birdman if you haven't.
Go watch Birdman, really.
It is legit.
Birdman, amazing movie.
Oh,
amazing movie.
Oy.
And Michael Keaton was robbed
yes.
at the Oscars.
Our good friend Adam Lucidi would agree with that.
Yes.
Keaton, he gave his all on that one.
He blew it away. I don't remember who beat out Keaton, but
I don't want to remember.
Exactly.
I throw him out of my mind
in the
trash heap where he
Screw
belongs.
Screw you, actor who beat Michael Keaton for Birdman.
Yeah, stinking up the joint. Oh, wait, no, I just remember who it was.
Who was it?
I think, wasn't it the dude that played Stephen Hawking in the theory?
Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah, wasn't it him?
I never saw that movie.
Me neither. It's just... That movie just seemed like it was made just so it could win an Oscar.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, you know, a man overcoming the odds and, you know, heartfelt swooping violins playing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so generic. Whereas Keaton gave like a really good performance and they were like, no, that's too inventive and new.
I love how we're like definitively saying, yeah, Michael Keaton gave the best performance when we didn't see the other nine
performances. Well, all right, yes. But based on that one trailer I saw of the other guys,
right.
I was like, no, Keaton wins. Thank you. This is why I'm not part of the Academy.
That's right. Well, you know what? I am sure there are people in the Academy who are that half-assed about it. I am sure.
Oh, absolutely.
I am sure they don't like all bother seeing all the nominated movies.
Yeah, they probably just like read the liner notes and be like, oh, all right.
Yeah. This one's my favorite. This person's due.
It's all politics.
It's an awards thing. It's arbitrary.
Yeah, it's all politics.
Everything is meaningless.
Yeah. God, gee, what is wrong with you today? Holy Toledo.
You know why I'm mad? I'm mad because Michael Keaton had a quote from Batman.
Nobody got it.
And nobody, it didn't get the recognition. He said, you want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts. A scene from Batman 89.
Crickets.
Where he's against the Joker, and it didn't get like a laugh of recognition. It didn't get an applause break. And I am...
Young people. The youth.
It was probably because the audience was filled with BTS fans.
Exactly. Oh, I'm sorry, Michael Keaton didn't say like a hip meme from whatever is hip today, you young hooligans.
Yeah.
He was saying something from the past, something that has some relevance, some art.
It probably just went over the heads of everybody in the audience. Because it was, I'm sure there was... I mean, judging from the applause, it was a lot of young teenage BTS fans, and that's that's fine.
Whatever,
that's fine. They have their thing that they love, but the thing that we loved was not acknowledged.
Yes,
so,
that's right.
Therefore, we are angry.
I know. Get off my lawn.
I thought this was a pretty good opener.
I mean, it wasn't political. It was good.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
I didn't like that one like WikiLeaks joke he said.
What was that?
He said like, when Keaton was Julian. Did we mention he was Julian Assange? You said Julian. And he said, so now where's the bathroom running? I got to take a wiki leak. I was like, oh. That's...
Doesn't deserve a whole lot of love, does it?
No, it does not. It's like, that's like...
It's pretty hacky.
Yeah, like who approved that?
I like this sketch. I thought it was really good for the Lori Loughlin stuff because it was so unexpected.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was like, who's the craziest person in this prison? And you can't top the Lori Loughlin thing because like you expect to see Michael Avenatti or Julian Assange in a sketch like this.
Right. Oh, and they threw in Tekashi 6ix9ine as Melissa Villasenor with Tekashi 6ix9ine at the end.
Uh huh.
So that was something.
Yeah. I really feel like they should have, like, Lori Loughlin should have been the topper. I feel like.
Well, I mean, Assange has done some. I mean, he's like.
No, I'm not talking about their relative crimes. I'm talking about, you know, just comedy sketch logic.
Oh.
Like, she was the most unexpected person to see.
Oh,
so
I
therefore.
See. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and it had the biggest juxtaposition where she was talking about, like, I've done 60 Hallmark movies, and half of them I married Santa Claus's brother.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, I just think that comedically there wasn't much of anywhere to go after that, because it was like, you expect Julian Assange and Michael Avenatti.
So you're saying they should have started with Avenatti, then gone to Assange, then gone to Laurie Loch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like as a character.
Good idea.
I mean,
good point. You make a good point. The only one thing I did notice is like how Assange mentioned that Keaton, he mentioned that he's Australian.
Yeah.
No Australian accent.
No.
He just said, "Hey, I'm Australian." And like, he didn't say, "Look, hey, I'm Australian, Mike." You didn't. I don't know.
I'm now trying to imagine Michael Keaton doing an Australian accent.
He could do one. He's Michael Keaton.
Well, then why did he choose not to?
Well, I don't know. That's you know, artists make choices, man. You know, that's...
Anyway, I mean, it was... And I think I'm sounding like I dislike it more than I did.
No, I...
Because I did enjoy it.
Yeah,
I just feel like it peaked very early. So...
No, that's fair.
That's like my one real criticism of it. I mean, it's... And anytime you get Kate McKinnon in there, it's wonderful. And I am fully for surprise cameos by Michael Keaton. I think my record bears this out.
Yes.
So next we have the Emma Stone monologue.
Yes. She mentioned BTS is here and shrieks from the audience.
Yeah, I liked the lead up. Yeah, we just have to test the sound levels and then just, you know, BTS is here. And then the audience goes nuts. I mean, it's sustained for... At least 10 seconds.
A little bit longer than I thought it would. Yeah.
I didn't time it, but, you know, they were hyped. They were there for BTS. I mean, the last time I can remember something like that was, you know, maybe when One Direction hosted. I remember when, like, Josh Hartnett hosted. I guess this was sometime in the early 2000s.
Wow.
Yeah, and this was when he was, like, the big thing.
That was, yeah.
And he was the big heartthrob, and I remember a lot of hooting and hollering and shrieking,
and
so
hooping and hollering,
you know. So
I feel like didn't Backstreet Boys were on the show, or
I'm sure they were at some point.
I'm sure like that happened. Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, who else?
Yeah, I mean,
Jonas Brothers probably. Well,
yeah, whenever you get like some sort of teen idol type,
yeah,
I think that's going to happen, especially in the internet age. Like people are going to mobilize and they're going to wait
for
tickets. And I mean. And as far as I know, SNL tickets are free, so you really just have to like camp out in the standby line or something like that.
It's true,
and it's a chance to see your favorite band for free.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't get many opportunities.
No,
that.
You
I
do
mean,
not.
They're only going to play two songs, but
still, you saw them for free.
But still,
you saw them move and shake,
and you'll
happened.
Be relatively close to them because Studio 8H isn't that big.
No, so you can maybe touch them if you're that close enough.
I wouldn't go that far, but okay.
I
don't think the audience is in touching distance of any of the performers, really. Outside of like the opening monologue, maybe.
Not with that attitude.
Wow. Okay.
So the sketch, the monologue. So in the opening monologue, Emma Stone talks about this is her fourth time hosting, and like she knows how, like, you know, it's a step close to. A step closer to the five timers thing,
right?
But she also heard that maybe that they're doing something for her for the fourth time, and she's like, "Oh, you know, I'm not expecting anything, or you know, if you guys," and of course, then the cast members come out and it's like, "You know, I know you kind of, you know, I'm not expecting anything, but if you have like a song or something prepared, or like, you know, Kate, I know you kind of play guitar," and he just hands Kate a guitar and they kind of make a song up on the spot for her.
And they improvise a song to the tune of No Woman, No Cry.
Yes.
Which...
I remember when you used to host.
And it's such a weird, random choice. I enjoyed it, that aspect of
it. Yeah, yeah, it was cool. And then Emma O'Connor went on to say, you know, I know usually maybe if there's like a special guest here to you know, say hello for my fourth time, like, yeah, I'm not expecting anything. So it's basically the cast sort of making up stuff on the spot. And giving her gifts on the spot to like sort of celebrate her fourth time, even though they didn't.
And she was saying like, oh, and I know, you know, a lot of times you have surprise celebrity cameos. And so they blindfold Emma And they bring Melissa Villaseñor out, and she imitates Owen Wilson and Ash from Pokemon.
Yeah, she does a good Ash from Pokemon. From what I've heard.
All right. and then they say, oh, and Oprah Winfrey's here. And then Melissa's like, I don't do an Oprah. So they bring out Kyle Mooney to do Oprah. And then the joke at the end is Emma Stone takes off her blindfold and she freaks out that Kyle Mooney is there.
Yes. And then Chris Redd comes out with a four-timer's jacket for her, but it's just the number four spray painted on a jean jacket.
Yes, I like that. That was a nice touch.
Yeah, that was all right.
That was enjoyable.
But yeah, it's not bad.
It was good. I mean, I always enjoy when Emma Stone comes on. She's got like a lot of energy and enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And she's got a lot of charisma. She's a versatile performer.
Very likable.
Yeah, very likable.
Yeah, yeah. You can just see that she really enjoys it. She's like, you know. Yeah, like Jason Momoa had the same type of thing too, like where he's like, I'm really hyped that he'd be here, and people just rooting for him.
And the enthusiasm is really infectious.
Yes,
I mean she's got a hyped up energy, so she energizes the audience.
Yeah,
I think so.
Very much so. All right, so first sketch, college dorm poster sketch, which was basically them redoing the college dorm poster sketch from the last time Emma Stone was there.
Yeah, I like it when the hosts have recurring bits.
Yeah.
I think that's fun.
Yeah, that's true.
Like when Tom Hanks would do Mr. Short-Term Memory, or when Jonah Hill does the kid who's always going to Benihana's, you know, just kidding, I'm six!
What? I'm six! That was a great one.
And I remember this sketch from, I believe it was the last time that Emma hosted. Where she's playing Chrissy Lynn, who is the Maxim cover model.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, basically, in the sketch is Pete Davidson. He's in his room, he's studying for this test, and it's like a history test. It's like, oh, history's so hard. I don't understand why it's so hard. And, like, then all of the he has a bunch of posters on his wall around him. And then
we have Mikey Day as the rapper, Little Percocet.
Yeah.
We had Keenan and Ego as the Black Puma and Jaguar, basically like an off-brand Black Panther.
Yeah, Jaguar.
I don't know why they didn't just say he was the Black Panther.
I don't know. Was that a copyright thing?
I mean, it's... My understanding is that, like, it's not a violation of copyright if it's like a one-time parody. If they did like a Black Panther sketch every week, that would be an infringement.
I don't know.
They do.
The Disney people are mighty with their legalese.
It just surprised me. It was just kind of weird.
Black Puma.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It seemed weird, but yeah.
Yeah.
And there was also a post of a wrestler, Mad Dog Dugan.
Yeah, which was Beck Bennett.
Beck Bennett. And of course, Emma Stone was Chrissy Knox, who's like a... What you call it?
Maxim
thing.
Yeah, she was like a Maxim contest winner.
Yeah, so then all the posters like sort of came to life and we were trying to teach this kid how, like, you know, history's cool and, you know, we'll help you get through this test. But Chrissy Knox is just like, you know, saying...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's making everything sexual.
Yes, very much so. And, like, and the other posters are like, hey, knock it off trying to teach this kid. Stop talking about your drinking out of a big water hose and stuff. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was literally pretty much the same thing as the last time.
Yeah, I mean, it was the same formula, and Emma Stone doing a lot of innuendo, I guess.
Yes.
So
innuendo.
Yeah.
Innuendo. What?
I mean, I guess the sketch is working on the two levels for some people.
Yeah.
If you got the Emma Stone crush, this is a sketch for you.
You are welcome.
Mm-hmm.
But
there
was one thing I was like kind of, I didn't understand why they did it, where all the other posters were saying, you know, you should take down that poster of Chrissy Knox because she's distracting you. So then he takes down the poster, but then there's another, you know...
It's Brandy Knox, Chrissy's twin sister.
Yeah, and then it's
just... So it's Emma Stone with her natural hair.
Yeah.
Instead of the blonde
wig. But then, like, they don't do anything different with it. It's just her doing, like, the same thing she was doing before, except instead of a garden hose, she has, like, a big burger.
Thing of beer.
Yeah, so it's like, what was the point of taking on the poster if you're not doing anything different? I don't know. It was odd.
It was okay. I don't know if this is something I probably would have put it a little deeper in the show personally, but
yeah, I guess so. And I don't know, this sketch was like, I don't know.
But it had the recognition, so a lot of times they want to put the recognizable things up at the beginning of the show.
Yes, that makes
so maybe
sense.
That was it. Maybe that was what tipped the scales.
Maybe it's like, oh, people are gonna go ape shit when they see the poster sketch again.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what people came for, not BTS.
So, I mean, I wasn't, like, clamoring to see the poster sketch again, but yeah. But I wasn't opposed to seeing it again.
Yeah, I had a feeling they would do it again, because it did well, like, the first time.
Uh-huh,
the second time, I was like,
I didn't look up the first one to rewatch that, did you?
I remember doing very well. I remember liking the first one. This one, I was like, yeah. I don't know, something's off.
Yeah. But, well, it's always tricky when you bring back something, because you don't necessarily have the element of surprise at your side, you know?
This is true.
So.
Very true.
Maybe that was it.
All right. But, So, next sketch, Fashion Coward.
Yeah, this was a film segment. A commercial for this fake clothing chain.
Yes.
For people who hate shopping but feel lost and scared. It's clothing that suggests the general idea of a person. And it's just very vague, generic clothing. No patterns, nothing printed, just solid colors. And
yes, exactly. They carry things like brown sweater.
Mm-hmm.
Navy vest.
Gray sweatshirt.
Yes. Pants for the legs. It's very, like, I kind of know people like this who don't take a chance in dressing in like, patterns or anything flashy. It's just, like, very basic. Like, I'm wearing a gray shirt, I'm wearing blue pants, and that's it.
This sketch spoke to me, because I am not a person who enjoys shopping for clothing.
What? Shopping for clothing is the best. I'm a very fashionable person. Guys, you can't see it, but I'm dressed to the nines, as always.
Yeah, yeah. Darren's wearing a scarf and a blazer right now. Yes. He just flipped the scarf around his neck. And
I have a fedora with a feather in it.
That's right.
He's
got a mustache with curly Qs at the end.
Oh, my God.
I know that's not clothing, but it helps complete the whole look.
Yes. I'm wearing a pinstripe pants. I'm putting on the Ritz, people.
He's got a cane. It's, it's nuts.
Oh,
I am in a dark grayish blue t-shirt and a gray sweatshirt and jeans. Yes. So
fashion forward.
Yes. But no, I just like going to stores and like trying things.
Well,
on.
What is it? What's wrong with it?
I don't like the process of like going into a changing booth and trying shit on.
Well, you gotta know if it fits. And,
I realize it's a necessary step of the process. I just hate it.
All right.
I don't enjoy it. And like also whenever I go out to buy new clothing, I want to get new clothing and I want to get like new stuff I'm excited about,
right.
But I'm only able to like buy a few pieces at a time.
Oh, okay.
You know?
You don't have time or the money to like just go.
I generally don't have the money to like do the whole new wardrobe all at once. So it's a very gradual process and that's a drag.
I see. All right. I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
All right.
Let's get back to the sketch. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Wow, we are getting sidetracked.
Never happens.
But usually we're just running right on time.
That's true.
But yeah, I mean, I really like the sketch. I think it was the sketch of the night for me. And basically, they're saying in the sketch they have things like in the changing room, like far mirrors, and. If you, it's had this thing where, like, if you take more than 30 seconds to decide whether you want to close or not,
release a gas that knocks you out, and then a man comes, carries you around the store, and picks things out for you.
Yes.
Which.
That's a fine service.
I might partake of that service. Honestly.
Really?
Honestly, I could, yeah. This is like, oh, it's a thing I don't have to decide? Yes, let's do that. Thank you.
Yeah, and at the very end of the sketch, it says, Fashion Coward, it's just Ann Taylor.
Yeah,
which
just random shot at Ann Taylor at the end.
Just a dig at Ann Taylor, which I mean, I don't know much about Ann Taylor, but like, I could see that being a true thing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, one of the female cast members or writers shopped at Ann Taylor this week and just had a bad experience, I guess.
I guess so.
Or were not happy with the selection.
I mean, there was that one point where they said, you know, how one time your mom said something so cutting to you while you were trying
in a Kohl's.
In a Kohl's.
Yeah.
That it just seared off the top of your brain.
I have shopped at Kohl's. I've shopped at Kohl's quite a bit.
Kohl's is great. It's amazing.
I like Kohl's. I enjoy Kohl's. Anything where I don't have to go to a mall, that's great.
Oh, all right. I'm with you there.
I don't like going to a mall. That's another part of the whole process that is just, ugh.
Too many youths.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I want a Burlington Coat Factory. I want a Kohl's. Mm-hmm. Maybe a Target, depending on how fancy I feel. and I just want to, I'll just go to the clearance rack, get a nice shirt for like $10, try it on, and get on out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In and out, just like a recon.
Efficient shopper. I like that. That's good. That's
I'm
good.
Like, I like these pants. I like this sweater. It fits. We're out of here. I just, in and out, like a recon mission.
But I thought this was a solid sketch. It was one of the highlights of the show. I don't know if I would say best of the show yet. I'll have to. We'll talk more.
We'll talk but, more. Let's go into this.
But it's a contender. It's a contender for me.
Okay. All right. So next,
we have an important announcement. In one of the interstitial things, we had a sighting of Mohawk Man.
Mohawk Man has been found.
Our favorite Mohawk Man, who is the, if you've not heard us talk about Mohawk Man before, he's somebody on the SNL crew.
Right.
And he has this wonderful, wonderful mohawk, and it's like sort of a salt and pepper thing.
Oh, it's majestic.
And it's wonderful, and we want to know this guy. We want to know what his deal is. We want to know his exact title on the show. We want to know what his duties entail. we want to find out all his behind the scenes stories. We want to be friends with Mohawk Man.
Yes. Yeah, so Mohawk Man, if you're out there, please at us on Twitter, Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm at Darren Incredible or the show.
SNL Nerd Show. Yes.
Yeah. See, I remember our handle.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for coming in. I almost forgot our handle.
but I love this. Lauren heard our cry that we had not seen Mohawk Man, and they threw us a bone.
Yes.
It was probably our best look at Mohawk Man yet. He was standing like center stage. Nicely lit. He was working on somebody's hair.
So he works in the hair department. Hair and makeup.
Yeah, he's probably something like that.
The plot thickens.
Yeah, so this was exciting. I enjoyed this. This is one of the highlights of the show for me.
You know, that was the highlight of the show, now that I think about it.
I saw that. I was so excited. And I don't usually log on to the SNL Nerds Twitter account when I'm doing the show because I'm busy taking notes.
Right. We're working here, people.
But I immediately logged on to the SNL Nerd Show Twitter account, and I had to just post about it.
You sprung to life.
And I was that gave me life.
Oh, my God.
It gave me life.
It healed me in the ways that I can't explain.
It really did. It really did.
Okay.
And the sketch that they were prepping when we got our precious glimpse of Mohawk Man was The View.
The View, yes. They haven't done a View sketch in a while, I don't think.
I mean, almost the entire cast of The View has turned over since the last time SNL has parodied The View.
I mean, Joy's like the only...
Joy Behar, I think she's the only OG View...
Yeah,
host,
last,
yes.
Last man standing.
Yeah, left.
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 Yes. Yeah.
I just had trouble pronouncing the word left. I'm having a bad day, people.
It's a tricky word. It's four letters. It's one syllable. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah. So we had Leslie Jones as Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, makes sense.
Which, that seems like such a natural. I can't believe they haven't done that in like the 4 years that Leslie Jones has been on the show.
Yeah, is this the first time she's done a Whoopi?
As far as I, because like a lot of times they had Keenan do Whoopi.
Yeah, well, that's before they had Leslie.
Yeah.
But now they got Leslie, and it's like, why didn't
And I, th- I think at some point a few years ago, Keenan was like, I don't want to do any more drag roles. Hmm. And he like put the brakes on those.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know if he just got sick of them or if there was a broader political reason or something.
Yeah,
it
happens.
But yeah, Leslie Jones as Whoopi Goldberg. I can't believe nobody thought of that before.
It's baffling.
And we had Cecily Strong as Abby Huntsman.
Yes.
Who apparently is a conservative person on The View now. I'm not really up on The View hosts.
I have not watched The View in quite some time.
Yeah, again.
I think like Star Jones was on last time I checked.
Yeah, out. Yeah. And I remember like Tracy Morgan playing Star Jones.
Yeah, I am a lawyer.
Exactly. we had Kate McKinnon as Joy Behar. Oh. She did a nice job, but I mean, couldn't erase my memories of Fred Armisen as Joy Behar. Oh, yeah.
So what? Who cares?
Yeah, I mean,
so what? Who cares?
Fred Armisen.
We could talk about Fred Armisen. I never got into him.
I was hit and miss on Fred Armisen. I got some things he did. I really liked. Other times he just seemed very quirky and precious. But he did a great job as Joy Behar, and I think I would say I actually preferred him to Kate in the role.
And that's
probably the only time that Kate McKinnon would not be my first choice to play a role.
Hot take.
I mean, let's give Kate the benefit of the
doubt.
This is like the very first time she was playing Joy Behar. Now, I'm sure if they return to this, the impression will develop.
Right.
But, I mean, that, just the visual of Fred as Joy Behar.
So you'd rather have a straight man take over this role than a woman. Is that what you're trying to say?
I didn't say that. I just said that, that Kate would have to work some to erase the memory of Fred as Joy Behar.
All right.
So, and you know, and not that once somebody plays a role, nobody else can ever do that ever again.
Right. All right.
On SNL. I mean, there's SNL has a long tradition of people taking over roles.
Okay.
I mean, we've had lots of Obamas. We had, do you remember when they were doing musical George W. Bush's after Will Ferrell left?
Oh, yeah. Chris Parnell tried it for a bit, right?
Chris Parnell tried it.
Forte?
Will Forte did. I liked his
he was
Bush,
all right.
as I recall.
And
I think there was one sketch where they made a joke out of everybody else doing Bush because Ferrell left before Bush's term was over.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Huh. But let's see, who else? We had Melissa Villaseñor as Anna Navarro.
Gesundheit.
Yeah. Again, I apologize. Not really familiar with the View host.
No, I'm not either. I haven't
and
seen
we it, had but. Adie Bryant as Meghan McCain, and I, of course, know who Meghan McCain is. I don't think I really realized she was on The View.
Oof. I mean, I kind of knew about this just because that one clip kind of went viral of course, that was in the sketch where, like, McCain and Joy Behar had like a little bit of a tiff on air.
Right, right. And they were having fun with that because apparently those two clash a lot on the show.
Yeah, and there was like, for those that don't know the clip, you could see it where like Joy Behar and McCain were kind of getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joy was saying something. McCain was like kind of cutting her off. And then Joy was like, hey, could you let me finish first? And then McCain was like, all right, fine. You know, it is your job to listen to me what I have to say, but I guess whatever.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
You can see it was very real. Like, Joy right. looked at her in a way like, I'm going to choke this woman out
and this
right
is,
on air
this
right
This is
now.
Pretty much what they did in the SNL sketch.
Yeah, very much so.
And a touch I really loved was they had Whoopi Goldberg just grab a little spray bottle of water and spray them like they were two cats.
Yes.
just to keep them apart, which I thought that was a great touch.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had...
Emma Stone came out as Jenny McCarthy.
Jenny McCarthy, noted anti-vaxxer and talking about the whole anti-vax thing.
Yeah.
And...
I don't know. This sketch was... It felt like it was half done to me. Like,
mm-hmm.
I like parts of it, but as a whole, it's kind of... I don't know.
I think it has potential. I wouldn't mind seeing them
return
to The View if there's, like, a story in the news that they want to hit on. And I think Emma Stone did a nice job as Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, yeah, she was good stuff.
Like when they brought her on, I was like, oh yeah, the host has to be in the sketch too, because like they did so much because The View has like five hosts.
Yeah, yeah.
So they did so much with them before they bring the SNL host on.
Right.
It was like, oh right, yes, we need a part for this week's host.
Right.
This was all right.
It's all right.
This was all right. I think I would have enjoyed it more if I was a little more familiar with the current status quo of The View.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I just knew The View from, like, again, that one viral video that went out.
I was more familiar with it in, like, the Barbara Walters day when you had Meredith Vieira and,
right.
and like, the OG View.
Yes, OG View.
Yeah. I have not kept up with my daytime talk shows.
Oh, man.
Really, so.
Do you even watch The Price is Right anymore?
I do not. I knew that. I mean, Drew. It's still Drew Carey, right?
I think so. I don't watch it either. I'm sorry. Sorry. I have a job, people. I don't have time to watch it.
We got the day jobs, and we're not going to be recording.
No.
We'll probably
watching something else, like Saturday Night Live.
That's right, which is on late at night when we are not working.
That's right. There you go. See? It all comes together.
So next we had another film segment with Melissa Villaseñor and host Emma Stone.
Yeah, yeah. And it's basically Melissa rapping about her hobbies, such as smelling books.
Yes. and drawing, and they did a little animation of her charcoal drawing. And
I don't know about this. That's like,
I enjoyed this.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
I thought this was cool. It felt almost like a Lonely Island to me.
Yes, it
Lonely
was,
Island piece. They're
going for that Lonely Island vibe.
Yeah, and I think this is probably some of the closest they've come to kind of capturing that
vibe. I can see that. Yeah, the Lonely Island really kind of gave them a template for them to follow, like, years after they were on the show.
Now, it really did.
They really did. Like, it's one of the things, like, you don't realize, like, what an impression they left on the show after they left.
They really did. It was like a paradigm shift for the show.
Yeah, very much so.
But the joke in this was Emma and Melissa talking backstage, and Melissa's giving this sort of rap about her hobbies, which are all
right,
very introverted, very bookish, very
charcoal drawings and what have you.
Yeah, things you do alone in your apartment.
Yes, very much so.
You know, not like going out to concerts and museums and being social.
No.
And it's very awkward because Emma's like, oh, I'm being called to the stage, I've got to go. Well, I've got a few more verses of my rap. And but eventually Emma joins in on that.
Yes, and then she talks about her her model town and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Just like that, the Steve Carell movie, the Welcome to
Marwin.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
So
I didn't see it, but I've heard.
Nobody saw it. That movie flopped hard. That bombed.
It looked interesting, but then I saw the reviews and I was like,
yeah.
Nah, that's okay.
Savage.
I'll watch Into the Spider-Verse.
Savage. But I enjoyed this. This was another contender for me.
Yes, I don't know. It didn't hit for me, but I was like, all right, this is cute.
Okay.
All right. The next one, Ladies Room.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one took me for a loop because basically it's them parodying this 80s video. And like when I first saw it, I knew they were parodying a very specific video.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'll have to come clean here right now. I didn't know exactly which video they were parodying.
You didn't instantly know?
I didn't instantly know.
Okay, because you posted on Twitter. You were like, this is the video they were parodying.
I did.
And when I saw that, I was like, oh, well, now this makes so much more sense to me.
Yeah, I knew they were, because like the way they were specifically like sort of doing everything, I was like, all right, this is some video from the 80s.
It was too specific not to be a parody of a particular thing.
Exactly. At first I thought maybe, is it like the Mary Jane Girls or maybe the Pointer Sisters? So I had to look it up and find out who it was parodying. And it's this video by this group, Climax, called Meeting in the Ladies' Room.
And Climax has like a lot of X's in the name, doesn't it?
K-L-Y-M-A-X-X.
Okay.
For sexy.
Right. And it was interesting because I watched the real video after watching the parody.
Right.
And it was interesting to see how closely they duplicated the look of this thing. And more or less the plot line.
Yeah, very much. It's like it very much sort of was akin to the one sketch they did with the Donald Glover episode. Mm-hmm. That one I knew immediately.
Parodying the Rain video.
Yes, Orange Juice Jones.
Right.
The Rain for those.
Right, which I either did not know about at all or I did not remember at all.
No, that was a very specific video. Like, if you were somebody who grew up in the 80s in the more urban areas, like me, because I'm from the streets. Like, you knew about Orange Juice. Why are you laughing?
Because you have never sounded whiter than when you went, I am from the streets. You went up on streets. You were like, I am from the streets.
I am from the streets.
You sounded like a black comic doing an impression of a lame white guy when you said that sentence.
That's how I live my life.
Yeah.
You know, out here on these streets. So if you're of a certain age, you grew up in the 80s, you knew about, you know, Orange Juice Jones, the Rain, and it seemed like that sketch was hit you in a certain place, much like this sketch would hit you in a certain place too,
right,
where they were parodying the video by this group Climax, and I did like that twist at the end. I thought the twist kind of really kind of, you know, saved it a bit, where like basically it's them singing about them being in the ladies' room and, you know, meeting up and hooking up in the ladies' room, but at the end Keenan comes in and says, this isn't a ladies' room. This is a fitting room at a Limited Express.
Yeah.
And, of course, all the people in the ladies' room, you know, admit that they went into the bathroom in the fitting rooms.
Right.
And now Keenan has to clean it up.
Yeah. Which was an interesting twist at the end. I'm wondering if, because I found out with that parody of the Rain video that they did in the Don Glover episode, Cecily Strong, like, co-wrote that.
What?
Yeah. That's not something you would think that Cecily would be in, and she had a prominent role in this one.
So she must be into like 80s, like R&B deep cuts.
I guess so.
This
is just supposition on my part. I don't know for sure if she co-wrote this, but it seems plausible to me. And I haven't like checked her Instagram or anything. Maybe I'll look and see if she's posted anything about that.
We just may have to make her a mixtape in order to. to see if she'll come on the podcast or something.
Let me see.
Cecily Strong, we will make you a Spotify playlist or a mixtape on a cassette.
I will like stand outside and hoist it over my head in a boombox.
Yes,
Trumbull. In a John Cusack type of way.
Trumbull will be playing a Shalimar on it, as well as DeBarge.
Right.
You know, the good stuff.
I'll just be blasting to the beat of the rhythm of the night,
dust until the morning. God, I love that song. God,
okay, no, I don't see anything new on Cecily's Instagram, so she's probably still recovering from last night's performance. So we don't have any more hard information about that, but
she might be down with the 80s.
Yeah, but I mean, like her hairstyle and like her dress, those were like exact duplicates. I mean, it was an impressive effort.
Yeah.
To do that.
I mean, the fact that she was in both sketches, like, oh, interesting. All right, this might be her thing. Interesting.
So, it was fine. It was a little weird. I didn't quite get it until you found the real video.
Right. I mean, but
and
the
then
fact
I was
that
like,
was,
oh, this makes much more sense to me now. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that there was like really weird until at the end when Keenan comes in that twist, and it's like, all right, now it's kind of.
Yeah.
I think it elevated it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But even though it was like kind of weird, I kind of get what they were doing, and like I kind of enjoyed this weirdness a little bit.
But Google the original video.
It is out
or go to Darren at Darren Credible on Twitter.
Yes.
And find the
video, yes,
that Darren posted. I retweeted it from the SNL Nerds show account.
Exactly. Follow me for all your 80s music needs and info about the streets.
And speaking of music, we finally got to our musical guests.
BTS.
BTS. So this was a thing. It's okay. It's a 7-member K-pop band.
7 seems like a lot.
It does.
That's like a basketball team, isn't
it? Well, we've had like about 20 years of the boy bands just being the 5 members.
Yeah.
And that's become almost the formula. You had your Backstreet Boys, you had your NSYNC, you had even going back to the New Kids on the Block, 5 members.
Yeah, 5.
I'm pretty sure like 98 Degrees and
98 Degrees was like 4, wasn't it?
Was it? Okay.
Maybe O-Town, you're thinking about?
I don't know.
Menudo?
Menudo, I think, traditionally had 5 members, right?
So, yeah, Menudo.
I mean, they were always changing the things out because the members out, because with Menudo, Menudo means many changes, and I think they would throw them out as soon as their voice changed or something like that. Or,
they would like take out the old and put in the new type of thing. But like 7 seems like. The Partridge Family didn't have 7.
So the 7 Korean boys, I'm assuming they're all Korean.
Asian.
Okay.
I don't want to pin it down that much.
Yeah.
I don't want to assume that they're Korean, but.
Well, I mean, I heard they were K-pop, so I was assuming.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
But, you know, they all had the same hairstyle, and they each had different colors, so they were like the Power Rangers of pop music.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, yeah. And they sadly never like combined to form a giant robot singing K-pop.
One giant dancer.
That would be a great closer, but
I think you're giving them ideas.
But yep.
But I thought it was all right.
It was fine. It was not my personal thing. I could totally see the appeal.
Yeah,
they had really impressive choreography.
Yeah, that won me over with their dancing.
Yeah, I mean they're really impressive dancers, and they were they were like rockets. In sync, you know.
Yes, they're doing the can-can and everything. It was fantastic.
I mean, like they have obviously drilled those moves a million times.
Yeah, I mean, as far as pop music goes, it's like, oh, it is enjoyable, fun pop music. It's all right.
Yeah, it's like my ears weren't bleeding.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't scream and get off my lawn, you know, from my shaking my cane at them.
I mean, the second number. It seemed like it was much more about the dancing than the singing, because like at times it was just like the dancing and the only music you were hearing was their backing track.
Yeah, very much.
And
so.
I was like, okay, you should at least put up a pretense of singing, but
you should just pretend that you can. It's weird. That's the thing. That's the same thing that like Ashley Simpson got, you know, shit for. And like, now it's like, all right, they're not singing, whatever.
But with a lot of those bands, it seems like it's much more about the show or the spectacle of it than hearing them sing and play.
I guess so.
So
that's the state. That's
I
just
don't
the
entirely
way.
Get it. But again, I'm a white dude in his mid-40s. I'm not supposed to be I'm not the target audience.
This
for
isn't
this.
For you, man. It's for us young.
Absolutely,
us young millennials.
And that's fine. You know, you go nuts with your bad cells, BTS fans.
nuts with your bad cells.
What did BTS stand for? You were talking about
Beyond the Scene, man.
Beyond the Scene.
Oh, don't. It's like you don't even follow them on Instagram, do you?
I don't.
You're so whatevs.
Yeah.
LOL, RTOFL.
I mean, I was guessing it would either be behind the scenes or perhaps Botswana Transit
they're
System.
They're not behind the scenes. They're beyond it.
Yeah.
They're so behind the scenes, they're beyond the scene.
Okay.
They're like beyond the behind.
Well, that sounds wrong.
It does. As soon as
that sounds wrong.
As soon as I said it, I was like, oh, well.
That's, we're just going to let that lie. So
next is Weekend Update.
Mm-hmm,
and Che and Joe. Che.
Yeah, let's give Che chop billing now.
Yeah. Joe's tries.
He tries. Yeah.
E for effort.
Okay.
Wow.
There was a good line. I think this was a line that Joe's delivered. He said he was talking about Trump, and Trump, of course, did not. He said he was like, I don't have anything to do with WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks isn't my thing. And the man has literally said on camera, I love WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
Multiple times. And they ran a montage of that.
Don't listen to what he said. Listen to what he's saying.
And
man, and deep Joe's, state.
And Joe said, yeah, you're more obsessed with WikiLeaks than our audience is with BTS. Which
that was
a cute line. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously like a cheap applause line, but you know, because any mention of BTS, the audience was going nuts. But
coming up, they said it. They did mention BTS again.
But it was very accurate.
But I mean, this one was okay. It had some good points, and Jay had some good jokes, and Joe's had some good jokes.
Yeah, Jay had a thing. He was saying. My notes just say, send more immigrants to New York. And I can't remember the full context of that anymore.
I did not write anything. I should have written more down, but like I was too busy recovering from that BTS performance.
Oh, well, sure. Yeah, like, why wouldn't you?
Just splashing water on my face. Like,
I needed a moment to cool down.
Yes. It's too hot. El fuego.
Yeah, so I'm afraid I don't remember the specifics of what Che said. I just remember I liked it a lot, as I usually do.
Whatever he said, it was better than Jost.
Yes. It's just a good rule of thumb. Next, we had A.D. Bryant returning as 7th grade travel expert Kerry Crum.
Yes.
Who traveled to Boise, Idaho. And she stopped in Pittsburgh. And the joke here, I think this is the second time they've done her.
Yes.
Where it's all the perspective from
a seventh grader or however old she is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, somebody on Twitter was saying that like she was supposed to be 8, but I thought for sure they said that she was in seventh grade, which would put her like in her teens,
if like you're
12 or 13. I think.
I was told it wasn't going to be math. So okay. All these numbers confuse me.
Anyway, it seemed like. At the beginning, it was like using some of the rhythms of Stefan.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, Boise, Idaho has everything. It's got this, it's got that. And it's just like, well, they should have gotten away from that a little bit more.
Maybe this, she's still trying to find the voice of the character or find the rhythm.
The highlights she talked about, she said you should not rollerblade on gravel because she like fell down and it looked like she had a blood goatee. Which she later said, which was something her brother said to her, and she later admitted that was a pretty funny line.
Okay.
When they stopped in Pittsburgh, her brother had to wear a yarmulke.
All right, yeah. I don't know. This character is like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't wow me, but it was all right.
It was all right, yeah.
Yeah. And then next up we had returning guest, Nico Slotkin and Bree Bacardi. The last time they had this was in the February episode with Halsey.
Okay.
They're
an Instagram couple who's very affectionate on their account. Their account is all about their wonderful love, and then they come on Weekend Update and they get into hideous fights.
Yes, very much so. I got to see what I said because I remember like saying on the Halsey episode we did like, oh, they're going to bring this character back within a couple of weeks. I got to remember what I said because sure enough, they brought them back much like I predicted. People.
Within a couple months, yeah.
Yeah, see? So, all I'm saying is I can see the future.
Yeah.
So, you're welcome, America.
This was okay. I'm not in love with these characters
You're yet. Not in love with them as they are with each other?
No, oh. I don't know if anybody could be, but yeah, it's not like a recurring weekend update bit that I'm just like, oh yes, hey, this character's back. It's not like the way we look forward to Stefan or the way right. I look forward to Jebediah Atkinson or
oh,
I love the Jebediah.
Jebediah,
Atkinson.
We hardly Taron Killam.
That's
underrated.
Underrated. I think probably my favorite bit when in this. Iteration was at one pit they just Michael Che just giving them this perfect look of disdain,
yeah,
which I enjoyed. Michael yeah. Che gave him some good support there.
He does. I did like that one line where Nico said, "Oh, she talked about Bree saying, oh, she made out with 8 dudes," and Bree was like, "It was Oktoberfest."
Yeah, she's not debating the fact that she made out with 8 dudes. She's defending the circumstances in which she made out with
yeah,
8
exactly.
dudes.
Yeah, exactly. And then later on, she tells him that she's pregnant. Not mm-hmm. show that she's pregnant, and then his initial reaction is like, "All right, you know I hate when you do this."
Yeah, so she's lied about being pregnant before.
I'm gonna ask you once: are you really pregnant? He's like, "No." I thought that was funny too.
And I like how quickly she gave up the lie.
I know, you know, I hate when you do this.
Yeah. So and they were also arguing about, because apparently they were both eyeing the guests on SNL. Nico was after Emma Stone, and
yes.
and Brie was all about the BTS,
yes,
which was where the making out with 8 dudes,
and of course everybody screamed.
Yeah,
all you had to say was BTS, and everybody lost it.
It was a Pavlovian response, man.
Ugh.
It was. I mean, that's what's going to happen when you get the teen idols
I
on.
I guess so. It's new One Direction.
Yep.
Oy. And so it goes.
And so it goes. Next, we had another sketch about the British royals. We had
Duke and Duchess. Sister.
Mikey Day as Prince Harry.
Yes.
Beck Bennett as Prince Charles. Haiti Bryant appearing as James Corden.
Yeah.
Does James Corden have a beard now?
Because
like Haiti had like 5 o'clock shadow at least.
He's always had to like some scruff, like a little.
Really?
I think so.
I can't say I've ever noticed stuff on
maybe
James
he hasn't.
Corden, but
I don't pay attention to James Corden in any capacity.
No, me neither, really.
All right, but yeah. So I mean, the premise of this one is the Duke is making a video for his future child, mm-hmm. And it's just like them at a baby shower, and him just videotaping everybody at the baby shower.
Right.
Emma Stone's drunken ex of his,
mm-hmm.
and it's just everybody. Putting on British accents.
Yeah, and we had...
saying, hello!
Yeah, we had...
Alex
Moffat as Prince William, who was dressed up as Freddie Mercury because yeah. Harry had told him it was a costume party.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, don't I look quite like a prat?
We had Chris Redd as 21 Savage.
Yes, who was British.
Deported from the U.S.
Yeah.
And we had Kate McKinnon popping up towards the end as Queen Elizabeth, who was buried yeah. under gifts.
Under the gifts. Oh, I seem to be buried under gifts here.
Yeah.
Listen to my character work. Isn't it amazing?
It's stunning.
It's like you're in jolly old England.
I was
hello
stunned into silence. My mouth is agape.
It really is, people. You can't see it, but...
That was spectacular.
I mean, John is really, he's just...
That
I mean,
was,
he's in awe.
I am.
It's like I transform myself into mm-hmm. a whole new character.
I was like, what? Am I suddenly doing the podcast with Queen Elizabeth? I don't know.
Hello!
Now you're just doing Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, all right.
Now you're just Robin Williams with cake on his face.
Yeah, all right, you caught me. You caught me. Fine.
This
sketch is okay. It
never really rose above okay for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, it's like, all right, this is cute.
Next, we had another film segment. A lot of film segments. This
was
like the third one, right?
Yes, it is.
And I think, obviously, the film segments, they were the strongest part of the show tonight. I mean, I think that's pretty undeniable, because we got the...
That's fair.
We got the
we had
Hobbies Rap. We had
the
Fashion Coward. I was blanking on the name of that. We had
the actress
Emma Stone as an actress,
a method actor,
and she's playing the wife who gets cheated on in a gay porn.
Yes,
and she's trying to invent a whole backstory for this character when she has like literally one line.
Yeah, and I know it was like as far as the sketch, it was only her and Beck Bennett. Like everybody else was like kind of just unknown.
That's
actors.
True. Yeah, no other cast members or anything.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, Beck was like, all right, you're the woman, and...
Beck was the director.
Yes, and, he was a director, and he seemed to be like kind of just on his phone, not caring about it. Mm-hmm. You know, he just, you know, he just didn't he, just adhere.
Yeah, he's like, well, you can wait outside. You can get your meal voucher when we're done shooting the scene.
Yeah.
And Emma Stone's character is doing all this internal work to try and the inner life of this woman and why she's getting cheated on.
Right. Her character was just called Woman, but she gave her character a name, like Deidre. This is what I call her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had like props in a bin, like one UGG boot.
Yes.
A cell phone that didn't work and whatnot. It's like who, and you know, some sunglasses that said 2017 from New York.
Right.
It's like, who is this woman? What mm-hmm. did she go through to walk in and see her husband bang her godson?
And then she's stumped by this at the beginning when she has to come in and say like, oh, I'm going off to the store, and then she has to come back in at the end, I guess at the end of all the gay sex,
yes,
and saying like, oh my god, what's going on? Yeah. And then the character snaps into place for her, and she has all these flashbacks putting everything into context, the 2017 glasses, the UGG boots,
yes,
and all that, and she has this full inner life for this woman, and then she gives that last line with conviction, and
it's like, I forgive you.
Yeah.
And then the director's like, all right, we'll just edit that out.
Yeah,
get your meal voucher. But
this was funny. I enjoyed it.
And it began with her slipping on some lube, and at the end
and then the end
she didn't slip on lube, she physically like with her feet slipped on lube,
right?
And at the end it's like, oh, how to get lube on my hands. You can never go wrong with a good lube joke, I find.
I'm so glad that sentence ended with joke.
It did.
And then our
final sketch,
our very last sketch.
This was a
Chumbers Reserve event wine commercial.
Yes,
with Cecily and who was the fellow in this? I didn't.
Keenan.
Okay. And they're advertising this wine that is 72% golden grain alcohol, made from the grapes rejected from other wines. And then Emma Stone and Kyle Mooney are showing up as the Italian couple.
Yes.
Who are just kind of decrying.
They come in with like this over-the-top Italian accents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we come in, we use the grapes that aren't good enough for other wines. And we were told, oh, is this like a wine for a dog? Mm-hmm. And then they were like, oh, no way it is. And then even at the end, they say, oh, you know, they told us we had to talk in a big fake Italian accent. And, you know, because our accents isn't no good. Like, they make fun of their accents at the end.
Which
I thought was very clever. It's like, oh, okay. Kind of saved it. This sketch was kind of all over the place.
It was. I mean, that's you expect the last sketch of the night to be like kind of this weird shaggy dog that's just goes in some random directions. I mean, that's where you put the weird stuff.
Yeah, like at one point, like Keenan kind of drinks the wine, and Cecily's like, don't drink that.
Yeah.
He spits it out, but like the wine he spits out gets in Cecily's hair, and her hair catches on fire.
Yes. Yes.
I was like, wow, that's interesting.
Which I enjoyed.
Yeah. And then the wine makes, I think, Keenan want to make out with Kyle or something. It was all over the place.
It was a weird one.
It was an odd,
it was,
odd one.
It was a weird one.
It was definitely a weird one, but it's like, all right, this feels right for the spot that it's in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our episode. That's all we got.
That was the Emma Stone episode. Yeah, I think Emma Stone did another admirable job hosting. I thought she did a really nice job.
Yeah, so. I mean, overall, you know, she was game. I think Emma Stone's a very strong guest host, and she gave a great performance.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, like, the sketches weren't all hits, but they weren't all misses. It was like, it was good.
I mean, definitely the film segments were the strongest. I think looking at it again, I think definitely the I keep blanking on the name. The Fashion Coward.
Fashion Coward was my favorite.
I think that was my favorite too.
I mean, of course, the spotting a Mohawk man took the top prize. But
I mean, that was incredible.
That just goes without saying.
Anytime that happens, that's just a given. I want this to continue to progress.
Yes.
I would love this to come to a climax at the end of SNL's season.
Climax.
Yeah. not
meet him in the girls' ladies' room,
or not in that gay porn way. But no, I want him to reach out to us, or us to have a name, or a specific job function for him.
Ugh.
I want to have closure on this.
Mohawk
mystery.
Man, if you ever want to come on this podcast, you have an our door is open for you.
Open invitation.
If you want to come to Clifton, New Jersey, we will have you in the studio. If you want to Skype in, we will Skype.
Yes. We will go to you.
We will go to you.
We will meet you in the city. We are not far from the city. We are maybe like 40 minutes outside of the city right now.
We will drive to you. We will meet you wherever you want, whenever you want. We are on call 24/7.
That's right.
We're like firefighters. We drop everything.
We will slide down the poles.
That's right. Like like Dan Aykroyd in Ghostbusters. Yes. We just slide down the pole and just
Or firefighters.
Yeah, they do that too.
Yes.
We will do like either one of those fine people. We will come out to you. We'll put the siren on our car, on the top of our car, and just drive through the streets of New York and meet you wherever.
Yes.
Yes, we will do that.
Yes. SNL is off for the next couple weeks.
It is, but we're
going to roll on.
Yes, should we tell them what we're going to do?
Yeah, let's tell them the theme we decided. We decided on a special two-part theme.
Two-parter.
And it's tying in with some current events.
Yeah, because what we knew that the next 2 weeks SNL was going to be off, so we're trying to think of what we're going to do for those 2 weeks. John came up with a great idea of, we could do episodes that tie into comic books, like comic book themed episodes. And then I think I thought that was okay. But then we kind of talked about it a little bit
more.
You
were like, I need to put a Darren Patterson spin on it.
I need my stamp on this somehow. Yeah. But then we remembered there was a big, huge event in between now and, of course, May 4th, when the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, Avengers Endgame.
What? Yes.
The event of the year.
A small Indian or independent.
Oh god.
Oh man, are you all right? Man?
No. This is. I was trying to look something up on my phone, and then I tried to like go into speaking right after it, and the word Indy became Indian.
Oh boy.
Okay. I was trying
ring
to
ring the problematic bell.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, but
By the way, I need to give an extra retroactive ring for the problematic bell.
For the
Joe Biden content last week.
I
was driving home from recording it, and I was like, I probably should have rung the bell. So that's a little retroactive bell.
That's for
Joe Biden. If you have any problem with Joe Biden.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're just covering our bases.
We're just acknowledging that and moving on.
We're just covering our bases. I don't want to take down my Twitter account.
Exactly.
So basically, of course, Avengers Endgame, huge movie, big blockbuster smash. So we came up with the idea, two-part episode.
Because when we looked at the list of all the people involved with Avengers Endgame, because there are so many actors who have been in the Marvel Cinematic Universe at this point. We were like, this could be a two-part episode.
Yeah, so we're going to do actors who are in the MCU who have hosted SNL.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot. Like, I've written out a couple.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr., of course, hosted and was a cast member
back in the day.
Brie Larson, Chadwick Boseman, Paul Rudd, Jeremy Renner, Benedict Cumberbatch, Martin Freeman, Josh Brolin, Bradley Cooper, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pratt, Samuel Jackson, Don Cheadle, Idris Elba, in the Five Timers Club, Scarlett Johansson.
Mm.
And there's even secondary characters too. Annette Bening, Gary Shandling, Sam Rockwell, Michael Douglas, Jeff Goldblum, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jude Law. I mean, my God. They've all been in the MCU at some point or another, and they've all hosted SNL. So what better way to praise them and give them their due than to do a SNL nerds podcast about them.
Yeah, so we're gonna have fun with that. So we're just gonna be talking about the times that those people have hosted.
Yes.
Notable sketches that they were in.
Yes.
Various random thoughts that pop into our head over the course.
Yeah, we're
of the episode.
The whole Megillah. You're gonna get it all here, people.
That's right.
If you're
into
the MCU, if you're into SNL, I mean, just hold on to your hats, people, because this is gonna knock you for a loop.
Let's not build it up too much.
This is going to be the best podcast ever. I'm saying it right now. This is going to win us awards. This is going to change the world.
Darren, we're going to have to talk off air.
What? What? We got to sell this, baby.
Let's sell it.
This will change your life in ways that you won't even imagine. I'm saying it right now.
Banging my head against my microphone.
This is gonna help you lose weight. It's gonna help. It's gonna build.
It's gonna fix your marriage.
It's gonna fix your marriage. Your wife will come back to you. You'll
it
be able
will cure your erectile dysfunction.
You're gonna see your kids again. All of it. It's gonna get you a new car, a new house.
It's gonna rebuild our relationships with foreign countries around the world.
Yes, it's gonna cure your STDs. Everything. It's gonna do it all. It's going to fix racism. It's going to do it all.
It's going to release the Mueller report. It's going to do all this stuff.
Oh, my God. It's going to make this world a better place, cure climate change. It's going to do it. This is it. This is going to give us the Peabody.
Well, as long as we're not building it up too much.
No. Yeah. It's going to... Oh.
So, but we should also mention when SNL returns on May the 4th, it's going to be Adam Sandler and musical guest Shawn Mendes. And, oh, I need to apologize for a mistake I made in the last episode. I went on a little mini rant with musical guest Shawn Mendes, and I got all mixed up. That vitriol was directed towards Sam Smith, who did the awful James Bond theme song to the movie Spectre, which was directed by Sam Mendes.
Oh.
And I got the names all mixed up because I had a brain fart. Somebody on Twitter called me on it. Oof. And thank you for doing that, because I hated my hate was directed towards the wrong person. I feel bad about that. So
what does Shawn Mendes do?
I have no clue. I don't know. But that was meant for Sam Smith.
Okay.
Sam Smith, you are the one I dislike.
Yeah.
Shawn Mendes, you and I are cool.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
We're squashing beef here?
Maybe you've done something else I hate, but I don't feel like Googling you at the moment to figure it out. I'll do that for the Adam Sandler episode.
So Shawn Mendes, you're good for now.
That's right.
But just watch your back.
That's right.
Watch your fucking back.
So if you want to follow us on Twitter and Instagram and hear more nonsense like this only typed instead of coming out of our mouth holes,
yes,
you can follow me on Twitter at Trumbull Comic,
and you can follow me at Darren Credible Twitter, Instagram, and I got a website, DarrenCredible.com. I do stand up. I don't have anything coming up in April, but I got a few things happen in May. So if you want to see me in May in the New York, New Jersey area. Come and holler at your boy,
mm-hmm.
as the kids say.
And you can follow the show at SNL Nerds Show on Twitter. We are also on Facebook, just SNL Nerds on Facebook. And what else? Please contribute to our Patreon.
Yeah, give us money.
Non-productive.com. The Twitter profile is getting up there. We're just short of 150 followers right
Ooh.
Now. So that is nice. I'm enjoying that.
Moving on up.
And let me see. Have we gotten any... Still no new reviews on iTunes. We've got 11 ratings, and we're 4.5 out of 5.
Not bad.
Which is nice. We are very happy. We are very grateful to everyone who is
rated and
taken the time to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. But guys, come on, let's get some reviews up going on over here.
Yeah, we gotta build a buzz.
Yeah, it takes like a few minutes. You got time to stare at Instagram at pictures of people and Instagram models all day, but you can't write a few words about us.
What the hell are you doing with your lives, people?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Really?
Really?
Really?
This has been Really with Darren and John.
You blanked on my name.
No, I didn't.
You stumbled. You were like, with Darren and John.
But I said it.
Eventually got to it,
well,
yes.
Well, then there you go. You're welcome. I turned it on you.
All right. We're going to continue to fight off air, so.
Oh, boy.
Until then, we will be back next week and the week after,
yes.
talking all about the Avengers Endgame, people,
yes.
and geeking out, because this is our wheelhouse.
None
of the sports stuff, none of the Game of
yeah.
Thrones stuff. Avengers Endgame, this is where we live.
Now you're cooking with gas.
Now we're speaking our language. So
mm-hmm.
we will see you then. Until then, take care.
Later, guys.
Bye.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.